Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friend, I'm your host, Leaning Heisen. This is episode 114 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. The school supplies are out in Target, folks, which can only mean one thing. It's back to school season. And let's all admit that we had no idea that face masks would ever make the list. Here's the thing though, this generation is ripe for the revival we have been praying for. And while our back to school rhythms may all feel unsteady, friend, our God holds. His plan for our families and schools are good. And that's where Moms in Prayer comes in. We believe moms can be the best intercessors for their kids because no one is more invested. We'd love to have you join us on this mission of praying for children in schools. You can get all the details on joining or forming a group on our website at momsinprayer.org. Each week, we're on the podcast trying to bring you content that encourages, empowers, and equips you to reach the next generation for Christ and to spur you on to pray powerfully and effectively for the kids in your life. This week, we have a dad on the pod. Our guest, Todd Wilson, is the founder of Family Man Ministries. For all practical purposes, he's a dad coach. He's honest, hilarious, and a guy's guy. He's also a homeschooling dad. You can find all the things we talk about and ways to connect with our guest, Todd Wilson, on our show notes on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Now, let's get started. Well, Todd, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Hey, it's good being with you.
It is so fun to have you here. You are the first guest that I've had that my husband, Mike, said, wait a minute, you have Todd Wilson on the podcast tomorrow? And I said, yeah. And he was fangirling. So, Todd, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and about your family.
Well, we live up here in Northern Indiana. I have 8 children. I've been married to my bride, Debbie, for 30 years. Just celebrated her 30th anniversary. We're trying to survive the craziness of the world right now. We have a ministry called The Family Man. We also have a newer arm of that called The Smiling Homeschooler. And we travel around the country encouraging parents, reminding them of what matters. It's not super deep. But, my fear is that we'll forget what matters in the busyness of life, the craziness of life. And, you know, the stakes are high. We only get one shot at this on this side. So I just want to get it right. I hear people all the time, you know, saying that. I want to get it right. But then there's always the lament as they get older. I wish I would have. I don't want to get to the end and say, I wish I would have. And to all the people who are on our team or we're on their team, that's what I want for them as well.
I love that. Actually, that's one of the things I was talking to the Lord about this morning is, Lord, I don't want to get to the end of this and regret missing something with the kids. So just show us.
Right.
So Todd, we're both blessed to have Jesus leading us.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you met Jesus and then tell us how you met your wife. Because, I mean, it's a 1-2 kind of scenario.
I hear you. Well, you know, I became a Christian as a kid. So, you know, I didn't have this dramatic moment. But I was raised by a mom who came to know Christ later. A dad who came to know Christ after me. But my mom was just an amazing mom early on. I mean, she had 4 kids. She had her own devotions every morning, and then she'd had devotions with each of us individually before we'd go to school.
Whoa.
I mean, and she did that for, I know, we don't do that at our house, but she did. You know, and she was just committed to that. My memories of her were when we were all downstairs watching Happy Days on television, she was upstairs reading her Bible. Now she watches Indiana Pacers basketball, but back then she didn't. And, you know, she just led me to the point where I put my trust in Christ. And as a kid, you know, with a childlike faith, like my children have, you know, it made sense to me then. I was like, why wouldn't I want to live forever, you know? and so I was about 7 years old. And then I met my wife. And it wasn't until after I became a Christian that I got better at sinning, you know. And somewhere along college, I got to a point where I just said, hey, God, I've kind of run things for a while. You've got the rest, you know, and where I got serious about following him. And I met my wife at Purdue University in Indiana at a Campus Crusade for Christ call out session. It was the first meeting of the year. And we dated a couple years. And again, we've been married for 30 years. I had 8 children. And we were arguing this morning. So there you go.
Okay. So true story. My husband, Mike, came home from a conference and he threw a t-shirt. Not really. He was like, kiss. And threw a t-shirt at me. And I opened it up. It's black t-shirt. Hashtag in white. Staying married.
Yes.
And he said, I got one of these for both of us. And I was like, I guess it's official. So those are your t-shirts. That's hilarious. Yes. Okay. So did you and Debbie always want a large family? I mean, 8 kids is not, American typical.
No. You know, kids getting married today, they're asked so many important things. We never even talked about any of these things when we got married. We didn't talk about what we wanted to do for school. We didn't talk about kids. We didn't talk about anything. But, you know, she had a family of 4 kids. I came from a family of 4 kids. So we just thought 4 was the right number. But after 4, we're like, you know, that was a lot of fun. And so I'm like, I don't know if I want to be done yet. And so we had another one. I had to talk my wife into it. And then around number 6-ish, my wife said, you know, we keep asking, we keep saying, how many kids do we want? How many kids do we want? She goes, we've never asked God how many kids he wants us to have. And it was like, man, you are so spiritual. And, and you know, like, wow, that is a really good thought. And so we basically came to the point, you know, after, you know, wrestling with this, we said, okay, God, it's up to you. We know you wouldn't, all children are a blessing from you. We wouldn't want any less than you would ever have us have. And then after 8, we couldn't have any more. We had several miscarriages. It was hard. And even at that point, you have to do business with God again. Because we thought, oh, you mean we might be done now? And so it's just a faith walk, really, on both sides of that. But here we are, 8 children. My oldest is Mary, lives right next door, and they have 2 children. So I'm a grandfather. And so it just gets better.
Is the grandfather gig as good as they say it is?
You know, I was not sure because I'm the family man. I didn't know if I'd be a very good grand family man because I'm not, I don't really like other people's kids. Like if your kids were over, I wouldn't care diddly about them, you know, little babies. And like, they'd say, oh, you want to hold our baby? And I'm like, nah, I don't need to. But it's been amazing. It's amazing. Just yesterday, our kids were out. We were outside yesterday and our grandkids came over and man, when they run towards you and put their arms around you and they call me Pops and they call my wife Minnie, and to put them to bed at night, it's just like, it's like having little kids all over again. It's just amazing. So it is good.
Okay, good. That offers hope. So I wonder what you and Debbie were praying from the beginning for your kids. I know that must have been an important part of the journey for you. What kinds of things were you hoping for them and asking the Heavenly Father for?
You know, really what I want my kids just to walk with him and to be, you know, what he wanted them to be. And I still pray that they would feel loved by their dad. Not just their Heavenly Father, because I think if they feel loved by me, because they all have relationships with God, they will feel loved by God. But I know sometimes if a person doesn't feel very loved by his dad, or it feels like they have to earn that love, they transfer that to how they view God. Of course, God isn't like that. I mean, he doesn't withhold. He doesn't make us earn it. But we sometimes feel that way. I know my wife struggled with that, really continues to. If she can have her quiet time and pray when she's supposed to pray and do the things she's supposed to do, she feels pretty loved by God. But when she's feeling ugly, which we all feel ugly because we act ugly, then she begins to think, maybe God's not very pleased with me. I want my kids to really, really feel loved by me and by God. And so that was really my prayer. And that they would, you know, have godly spouses that would love Jesus and would love them. Because like I had 3 marriages this past year, and my son, who the youngest of the children, got married.
Wait a minute. You've had 3 weddings?
Yes.
We've had not 3 marriages.
3 weddings. 3 weddings. Yes. I have not.
I'm not
had 3
a
marriages.
Polygamist. No.
No. I can't even imagine.
Right.
I can't even imagine. One's hard enough. Why right. would you want 2?
Okay, 3 weddings.
And so when he got married, you know, he was my kid who marched to his own drum, you know, whatever that is. You do something with a drum. He's unique. And I just wondered, you know, God, who will you bring around to enjoy that and not think it's just annoyingly weird? And it happened to be my daughter-in-law's sister. And so, and she adores him. And it's just so cool to see God do that. So I prayed often that God would bring someone who was really made and created for my children to be spouses with. So
I love that. Todd, you take your job as a dad pretty seriously. At what point in your family life and in your marriage did you recognize, like, this is a ministry, this is a part of what God wants for us, is to point families towards Jesus?
Yeah. You know, I still don't even sometimes feel like it's a ministry, like something official. And we've been doing it almost for 20 years, but I was a pastor for about 10 years and just felt like God was moving us in a different direction. We didn't know what that was going to look like. But I had had for a long time since I was a dad, had this, because I saw dads kind of trading in stuff that didn't matter, trading in stuff that did matter, like family, for stuff that didn't matter, like a career. And so we started moving in that direction. And really, this is what I was made for. It's been an amazing ride. And it's so simple. We don't give lofty instructions. We don't do Bible studies. Not that Bible studies aren't important, but that's, you know, I'm just a dad who points other dads down the right path, because we dads get so sidetracked so easily. I need someone like that, because, you know, I talk about being a dad all the time. And yet, you know, I can be doing this and go inside in 10 minutes and have one of my kids in tears because I was mean. We dads just need other people in our lives. And so do moms, because, you know, moms, we think, oh, they're the ones who are the nurturers and all. And yet, it's so easy to miss out on the relationship in the midst of all the busyness.
So well said. So somewhere along the way, you and Debbie made the decision to homeschool. How did that come about? I mean, was that something that you knew about?
Nope, we didn't talk about it. Again, remember, we went into marriage not even thinking. We had no game plan, but we had kids. And I was a pastor at the time. And I thought, oh, you know, we'll use our kids. We'll use everything to win our community for Christ. We lived in a little community with brick streets. And I thought, this is going to be great. And so we had a kid, maybe a two. And I thought, oh, we'll just put him in public school because that's where I went to, you know, salt and light. Yeah, that'll work out good. And then, you know, these little kids started hanging around my little kids and they were saying things that would make a sailor blush, you know, and they were in kindergarten. And some of them, if they didn't have pot drying from the rafters in their house, I would have been super surprised. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to put my kids in with that, because if the salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything. I mean, to be thrown out and trampled upon. And I thought, I have to work on my children and be the chief influence, or we're going to lose them. Because I knew those peer influences are so much greater. I wasn't even thinking about, like, the institution and how that, you know, even now is hugely influential. It was just a peer thing. And so I asked my wife, I said, what do you think about homeschooling? And she had a sister who had started that, and but we still didn't know very much. We didn't know very many people in it. And she's like, no. And so we talked about it some more, prayed about it. And I think, you know, when you start really young, there's not a great fear of ruining your children, because you think, okay, I know most of my colors and I know the alphabet. We can go this way. And we've never looked back.
Well, I assume that Debbie said no at first because of the commitment that would be for your family,
I think,
right?
So. I mean, it just, and it was unknown. I mean, when you tell someone, oh, you're going to have to do all the school for your children, in our heads, we think, well, I can't do that because I'm not a professional. You know, there must be something really, really magical about those people who have this super great gift. There's not anything magical or whatever secret formula, but that weighed heavily at first.
Right. Okay. So Todd, like, a million of us have been thrown into homeschooling because of COVID-19. What do you see as the difference between, like, homeschooling and virtual schooling? Because there is a difference, right?
There is a difference. And that's kind of the method. The homeschooling, you know, what I picture of virtual schooling, and I'll do these backwards. Virtual schooling is a kid doing what I'm doing right now. He's sitting in front of a computer, you know, and his teacher's saying, good morning, class, you know, and he does his school, you know, he does regular school doing this. Homeschooling takes place oftentimes on a couch, you know, around a kitchen table. It's a mom, sometimes a dad, not as often, but a mom and some kids. It's chaotic. It's loud. It doesn't look like a classroom. It looks more like a mom doing an art project with her kids. I think it's the emphasis on the home part, knowing that the home is where the real lessons are learned. A virtual school is more emphasis on the school part. There's still some great things because once the virtual school part is done, your kid is safe at home, or even during it, your kid is safe at home. And so there are nice things about it, but it is not a full embracing of home education.
Oh, right. Because the school's choosing what you're teaching your children. Right. And in homeschool, parents largely direct what curriculum they use and that kind of thing. But it's like you said, there are opportunities that parents are going to have because of this season at home, even if they're doing virtual school, right? Like, what kind of opportunities do you see that God's giving families right now in this season?
Oh, I think this is a huge gift. And I know some of the moms are probably thinking, whatever.
Yeah, 6 months of no alone time.
Yeah. You know, but really, those are the things that I look at as gifts, you know, because even in my house is messy. My yard is filled with junk. One day it's all going to be nice and clean and it's going to be quiet. And I'm going to wish I could do it over again. Those are all little memorials, or not memorials, they're markers that what we're doing is worthwhile. And I think the beauty of all this is not just being able to do school at home. The beauty of it, the gift of it, is having your children home. You're going to get to know your kids in a different way just because they're with you every day. You know, they're going to learn things, really, really important things that have nothing to do with math or science or history, but about how to interact as a family. You know, because some of us, you know, we grew up in a school. We didn't have to interact as a family. You know, we did our own thing. We had our own friends. I can remember having brothers and sisters, and I didn't want them to be my friends because I had friends. I didn't need them as my friends. My kids right now, they're all best friends, and they have other friends, but their best friends are their brothers and sisters. When they have a weekend off, they call up the brothers and sisters, and they get together, and they go and hang out at each other's houses. I'm like, that is the value. That is the byproduct of homeschooling. So I think you've been given a great opportunity. In fact, if you're a mom who's been thrust into this, I wouldn't even worry too much about the school part. You know, if you're doing virtual school, you know, your kids are going to do just fine. But I would concentrate on some of those other parts. You know, the part where you make cookies in the middle of the day, or you watch, you know, an old sitcom at lunchtime, you know, Andy Griffith, or, you know, something that you were the Brady Bunch, you know, and those are the things I think that can't be taken away.
I love that. I also love the idea that parents whose kids are in public school, I've heard lament for such a long time, like, they don't teach the Bible in school. Mm. And this is like the perfect, you can. I mean, and parents have that privilege every day, but this is a great opportunity. And you probably know moms who are saying this seems scary and overwhelming, and it's going to take a mindset shift for all of us. Yeah. So pastor us for a second. How do we make that mindset flip right now to say this is not completely overwhelming and taking over and I'm not going to wreck my kids, to this is an opportunity?
Again, you cannot. My wife just said it. We have a podcast called The Smiling Homeschooler. We do it every Tuesday on Facebook. But my wife was on a couple weeks ago, and her quote was, really, there's nothing you can do that is going to ruin your kids. You know, I mean, we're not talking about you. There's something that you can't. I mean, you could sell them. I mean, that would be bad. But, you know, a mother who cares, you can't ruin your kids through homeschooling. By being home, it already places them higher than they would have been. Just because it's a safe place to be, it's a good place to be. We believe that home is the best place for our kids. It's just true. And so, you know, as a mind shift, I think you just have to come to that point where you say, I know this to be true. I know, you know, like this truth, God gave your children exactly the mother they needed. I mean, he could have given them anyone. He could have, you know, let them be raised by a team of scientists, but he didn't. He knew that your children needed you with your faults, with your struggles, with your shortcomings, because that would be best for them. And you just have to go back to that over and over again. And that means you know what's best. So, you know, if one of your friends says, oh, you ought to try doing this, and you don't like doing that, and your kids don't like doing that, and they cry, don't do it and don't feel guilty. Or if you know your kids, like my wife knows her kids, because as a mom, you're laying in bed every morning, really going, I wonder if this kid needs this. You're thinking about your children. You're thinking about those. Do you think the school teachers think about your kids? They don't. But you care about your kids. And really, I would cling to that truth that God gave your children exactly the mom they needed.
So there's moms listening who have loving and supportive husbands at home beside them. There are moms that are doing this alone. But for the moms that are listening that have dads that are willing to participate in this process, how can we encourage them to participate, number one?
Oh, and it's real easy. If you're just starting, you can say, hey, honey, could you do this with one of the kids right now? And then he'll go, okay, sure. After he does it, here's what you say. You go, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's all. You don't have to go, oh, you know, did you cover it all? You were supposed to do this part too. You did this part, then you skipped this part. You know, if you're going to do, if I ask you to do it, I'd really like you to do it all. If you nag him, he will. Is this becoming painful there, Lee?
No.
If you ask him to do something, then just say thank you. Because we husbands, I think, really, we spend most of our life not doing things because we know they're going to be wrong. So if you want your husband's involvement, and I guarantee this will work, if you want your husband's involvement in homeschooling your children, whenever he involves himself, just let him. You know, don't correct, don't be critical, just say thank you. And I guarantee he will do it again.
Okay, he'll do it again. But then Todd,
this is going to turn into a counseling session.
Right? It still may not be right. Like, eventually it comes around, right? Like, eventually it looks like we want it to, right?
Oh, yes. No. What you want is you want a husband who is involved. You know, you do. You want a husband who's involved. I'll tell you, some husbands are so scared to death. We're like dogs. We've stuck our noses out and we get smacked on the nose by a newspaper. And after a while, we don't stick our noses out anymore. We're just too scared to try anything. I had a friend who, if I held up this, I'm holding up a white piece of paper. Well, it's kind of white. If I held up a white piece of paper and I said, hey, Larry, what color is this piece of paper? He would say, oh, I don't know. It could be any color. And I'm like, well, doesn't look like it could be any color to me. What color could it be? He goes, well, it could be, you know, several different shades. He will not give me an answer because he's so afraid of me saying to him, well, that's the wrong color. Oh, no, that's not white. That's an eggshell, you know, or whatever. Because I think because either he had a mother who did that to him or a wife who did that to him. And he's scared to death right now to give any kind of answer. So, yes, it will work. If you have a husband who, pick an area, it doesn't even matter. I'm kind of a slob in my house. So like, I don't change light bulbs when they burn out very fast. But I used to work for a guy, man, he would change that bulb before it cooled down. But I'm like, I would be the type who lets them all burn out. You know, but if I see my wife standing up on a chair, changing the light bulbs, I see her and I feel like she's kind of crossed the line. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I was just changing the light bulb. I'm like, oh, I was going to do it because she thinks she might be helping me, but what I hear from her without even her saying any words, you've let me down. You'd think I'd be thankful, but really I'm resentful because it's a reminder that I've not done my job. So what should a wife do? You know, you let them all burn out, you light some candles. And then when he finally goes, man, it's super, super dark in here. Do we have any light bulbs? And he gets them and he changes them. And then you say, thank you. And I guarantee again, he'll do it again. You know, or if you go, thank you so much, and you make a big deal about it, you know, and like, whoa, that we love seeing everything, you know. He may not do it right away again, but eventually, and the thing is, you know, you want your husband to love you and to be involved. You know, if you have to be in a dark room, it may drive you crazy, but that's really not that big a deal. Sometimes we think, the thing that we're looking at right now, that little math lesson that we might ask our husband to help us out on, we think that matters in the whole world. It doesn't matter at all. You know, but what you want is you want your husband to feel involved and to be involved and to love him. I always say to moms, what I do, and this is my secret. The secret to husbands is to hang on their arm and tell them their muscles are big. You know, really, that's it. You know, not just their muscles, but, you know, because you used to be that way before you got married. You used to think he was smart. You used to think his character was good. You used to think he was wise. And now after you've been married, you know, you think all his choices are wrong. Why would you let the kids watch that? You know, why didn't you do this? You know, and after a while, we husbands, we just pull away. I think sometimes husbands, by hanging on their arm, tell them how big their muscles are and whatever, you know, thank you, honey. I really appreciate you changing the oil in the car. Or I thanks for going to work today. You know, and you think, well, why do I need to do that? They take little steps back into our life, our homeschool, and our family.
Hmm. So there's many kids whose fathers are absent from the home. What hope would you offer those moms today?
Oh, there's great hope. And here's the hope. God said, I will be a father to the fatherless. I just cling to that. If you have to print it out, post it above your desk, that's an amazing thought that I don't have to worry anymore, because I know moms out there are like, well, I've got to find some man to invest in our lives so my kids will, you know what. There's not a man who can invest enough time. You know, dads are supposed to be there all the time. You know, you might get an old guy who can help out, and that's helpful, but you don't have to feel stressed out about that because God said he'd take care of it. And I think I would rest in that God said he'd be a father to my children. So God, I'm claiming that promise. And if you want to bring someone along to fulfill that, that's good, but I'm just going to leave it with you. And that takes all the stress out.
Good. So good. So, all right, Todd, moms in prayer, we're focusing on prayer here, but I wonder, as the family man, are there scriptures that you're praying for your kids?
You know, I'd like to say, oh yes, I have this whole list of things, but I have been thinking and praying. In fact, I just sent it to my kid just the other day. And I had it up on my computer. I was going to bring it up if I can find it. Maybe I deleted it already. But it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. Because again, my kids are older now. And I've really been, this whole craziness in the world is really throwing them all off. Even my younger kids are starting to repeat some of their things, you know, that their older brothers and sisters are saying. And you know, where they're requiring certain things of us, not letting us in certain places if we're not wearing masks. And just that verse where it talks about submitting yourself to other authorities. That's what I've kind of been praying for my kids right now, because that's not always an easy thing to do. Because, you know, there are some fear mongers on both sides of the fence.
Right.
Fear mongers saying, you know, well, we've got to do this or we're all going to die. And other fear mongers saying, well, if they make us wear masks, one day they're going to make us wear this mark of the beast. You know, a mask is a far cry from the mark of the beast. So, you know, how do we, and I don't think God wants us to be afraid. You know, he's told us we're not to have a spirit of fear, you know, and that we can cast all our cares on him. That's what I'm praying for my kids. Not just praying, but really what I hope to model to my kids and what I'm talking about with my kids when they rise up and when they lay down and when they walk along the path.
So good. All right. So what's shaping your prayer life right now?
This whole thing right now, because this is we were just talking before we started. My job is I go around and I speak to large groups of tightly packed groups of people, you know, and that's like the last thing that's ever going to come online. And that's hard for me. I was just listening to some music the other day. So I'm in my Family Man barn, which we've got all our books and products. So I was working around in here and I had the Pandora on, the music thing. And somehow it was on a Disney playlist. So it was playing all this music from movies, you know, from Tangled and Little Mermaid.
This is the perfect picture for our minds right now. Okay. Todd Wilson frolicking in the barn to Tangled.
Okay, so I'm listening to this music and I hear the music from Mary Poppins. And this is just super recently, the original, where, you know, Mr. Banks, he's this successful guy, and he starts off the whole show by, a British home must be run with precision. You know, and he's bum ba bum. And by the end, though, he's about to lose his job and his whole world's falling apart. And And he's singing this same kind of sad song and talks about all his dreams being dashed. And he sees that it's Mary Poppins' fault, that she's thrown him in this turmoil. And then just a little while later, he finally realizes he's able to focus on his family when he was focused on his career, you know, but it had to be taken away before he could see that, you know, I am the family man. This is what I talk about. You know, I was looking forward in March. I had a huge schedule filled. My shelves were filled with books that we were going to sell. We were looking forward to all this stuff. And God took all that away, just dumped me out, you know, with my family. And it's been hard for me to see that sometimes, but that's what I want. And sometimes, because I know it is good, I can say now, God did this for me and that he's doing it for you. And I think that's the beauty of homeschooling, that it thrusts us back in. Again, as I said early, this is a gift to you, Mom. You've been given a gift to have extra time with your children. I've been given a gift to have extra time with my children. And yes, that causes us to pray, because sometimes we're not seeing it. We don't see the gift. We just see the confinement or the change of plans. And I think that drives us to prayer. And something else I was just thinking about too, as you were talking about prayer, you know, maybe because, you know, our parents are getting older and people become more frail. But I can remember when I was a young pastor, I think almost being, this sounds so terrible, but you'd get a group of pastors together and they would say, well, you know, we just don't have, you know, deep prayer requests. We just have, you know, Bob praying for his Aunt Nellie, she broke her hip. I've kind of come to the place where God cares about Aunt Nellie's and he cares about those things. And those little prayers that don't seem very deep are the very prayers that God wants us to bring to him over and over and over again. So I find myself praying oftentimes in the middle of the night when I wake up, and I just run through my list of people who are scared, who are facing a surgery, or scared because their marriage is in a mess. And those are the times I think that God and I talk, and I bring those before him.
So good, Todd. Well, we have come to the end of our time together, but how can our friends connect with you and learn more about your ministry?
Well, if you're a mom and find yourself homeschooling, we want to see you smile. So you could stop on the internet at thesmilinghomeschooler.com. You can go over to Facebook and look up that same thing. If you're into podcasts, again, we have a podcast. We send out a free weekly email to moms, and we send one out to dads. If you have a husband who needs to be encouraged, you can sign up at familymanweb.com, familymanweb.com, and we send out a weekly email that Mike gets. And
we do a
podcast called The Family Man Show. You can find both of those wherever podcasts are found. And we'd love to connect more. I sure will. For every mom listening right now, whether they homeschool or not, but I pray a special prayer for the moms who've been thrust into this and they're afraid that you would show them that you are enough, that you created them to be the moms of those kids, and that you've made them smart enough to figure it out. I pray that you would surround them with people who would be encouragers. And I pray that in those first days that are going to be fun and not so fun, I pray that you would strengthen their resolve and that they would see the gift in the midst of it. It might be stress, like financial needs, or maybe a mom can't work like she did or whatever. I pray that you would meet all those needs as you promised to do. And we thank you that you do what's best for us. You know, sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Friends, it's going to take an all-hands-on-deck approach if we're going to do this next season well. I appreciated Todd's straight talk about doing this as a husband and wife team. Do you know someone who would benefit from listening to today's episode? Would you take a minute to share this episode with him or her? If this is your first time here, thanks so much for joining us. You can learn all about the ministry that God has given us to pray for children in schools around the world on our website at momsinprayer.org. We know this is a hard season, friends, and we are praying for you.
Moms make the difference. Moms learning a whole new vernacular, like virtual learning, phonographs, and writing prompts. Moms just like you. See you next week.